You're listening to Pastor Scott Nyman at the Church of the Redeemed. Father, we ask that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and that seeds would be sown on fertile ground. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I get burned out very easily. I don't know if anybody's like me, but I get burned out extremely easy. I can run sprints, and then I crash, all right? I mean, I can look at a task and run some sprints, and then I crash for about a week and just burn out, and haven't been able to figure out exactly why. So this weekend, I try to do what I call like sabbaticals. Like, you know, some pastors go on sabbaticals for like a month or two every 3 years, 10 years, you know, every year. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just kidding. But they go away on sabbaticals, and so I try to do something where I used to do it before I got married. I called them Scott days, and what those were is it was just about what I wanted to do, and that's it. Nobody else. I just went and did what I wanted to do. Then I got married, and then I had kids, and now there's not even a Scott day on the calendar. So, but now we have kids married with a church. So now, you know, who's Scott? That's the question. And so I try to do sabbaticals every so often. And so this weekend I decided, like, you know what? My Mac computer, probably was a guy thing, hard drive quit on it. So I was lost right there. Okay, I'm in the era of technology. So when you lose your technology, you know, like I used to not pay when I was in Michigan. I struggled with my bills. Well, if my cell phone got turned off, I was naked to the world. I'm like, I might as well go back in the Stone Age and start carving, you know, messages on stone. So now my Mac quit, I'm lost. I'm like, what? I was like, what do I do? I was like, well, I got to go to Springs and get it fixed. So we went up to Springs, dropped it off. I was like, let's just do a night. It was my daughter's birthday. So I was like, this is what I said. I had a whole plan for rejuvenating myself. I was like, I'll go up early on Thursday. You guys meet me up there. So I have a whole day to myself. We'll stay night, throw a birthday party for my daughter. And it'll be awesome. So I leave. I don't even know why I'm telling you all this, but it'll make sense eventually. So then I leave in the morning, and that was a foggy day. Apparently Colorado fog is different than Michigan fog. So literally the cars in front of me, which I didn't even know were there until I was 2 feet from them, were going 45 miles an hour on 94 going to the Springs. I'm like, I'm going to be there in like 3 years. You know, just, you know. I mean, like a prairie dog ran past me. Like, I'll see you there. You know. And it's like, you're going to be kidding me. So eventually I get to the Springs. Probably, I think it took me like an hour longer with all that. And so I eat lunch. And then I decided, well, I'll go check in the hotel. I go find a hotel, check in. I drop my Mac off. Go find a hotel. Sit for like 1 hour. Okay. And my mind's too busy to relax. Then I realized, well, my wife and kid, she calls me like, hey, we're going to be up there pretty soon. I'm like, oh, great. So I run to the Party City, get all the decorations. I found out. I'm the coolest dad in the world. I found, as I am bragging about it too, I found a princess balloon that had Cinderella on it. My daughter is my princess, and I tell her that all the time. So everything's princess to her. If she's 13 and still talking this way, she'll need counseling. But right now, I go along with it. But I found this balloon that sang, happy birthday. So I'm like, nice. So Lori's like, hey, we're, you know, she's calling me the whole time. I'm stressing. You ever been on those time crunches? It's like I was meeting a tax collector. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to get to the house, you know, so I'm gathering everything and running from store to store. Couldn't find a cake. I finally found a cake and eventually got to the hotel. She's in the parking lot now. I'm throwing decorations all over the place and put up the balloon, and I go meet them, and I was like, you can't come in until the right time because I smacked the balloon and it sang as she came in. Her face lit up. It was the most awesome thing I ever saw in my life. But I also had a cake and a crown and a wand. And so she hit the balloon with the wand, like 5 minutes of being in the room. She hit it and it pops. Boom. I've never seen her that sad in my life. And she was trying to be strong. Like, and I'm like, it's okay, I'll get you a new one, you know what I mean? Like, anyways. So that was one day. Anyways, by the time the weekend was over, so the next day I tried to find some time with God. I'm like, all right, I gotta go find a place. My place with God. Moses went to the mountain, I go to coffee shops. And so I go to a coffee shop down the road, and every single table, and I had the church's Mac with me, every single table was taken. And so was every outlet. And I was like getting frustrated. I'm like, do you people need to know I need to talk to God? Like, I need a Mac to do that, right? Like, he only talks to me through Macintosh. You know, I just wanted to yell at everybody, so I found no table. So the lady goes, hey, Borders in the mall, you know, check that out. So I go to Borders in the mall, completely forget that the whole Borders franchise have shut down. So there I am at a Borders that is no longer there, big empty building. I was like, well, does the outlets work? You know? So then I'm, so finally I call Lori. I'm exhausted. My eyes are big. I mean, like, And finally, she goes, just come take a nap. So I go take a nap. Anyways, long story short, busy weekend. Didn't get the refreshment that I wanted, but God kind of rebuked me in the sense that he's like, all I wanted you to do was rest in me. He's like, why did you not just want to rest in me? I'm running all over the place trying to find him, right? You know, like, are you at Barnes & Noble? Are you at Borders? You know, like, Jesus, Borders closed. I know you're not there. So just a crazy weekend. I don't know why I shared all that with you except for the fact that God still wants to speak to you this morning. Amen? No matter if you're tired, no matter if people are missing, next time everybody goes on a vacation, I'm going with them. Especially Bruce and Janet. You guys go cool places. Just store me in the back of the RV. Now, I'm going away from my notes for a little bit because I felt this during worship. I don't know if you guys realize this, but next Sunday, I think it's next Sunday. Is there another Sunday in September? Okay. Next Sunday is actually our 1 year time from when we tried out and interviewed here. So it's been 1 year next Sunday. And so that's kind of a cool thing. And we've seen some amazing things happen here, I think. You know, our average attendance now is 70. God is doing, not that attendance matters, but here's what I love is no matter what attendance is, the redeemed is excited about what God is doing. And that's amazing. So 1 year is an awesome thing. But I felt from the Lord to go a certain direction, and we'll try to get back. But there's a scripture that I read when I tried out that the Lord gave me. And when I tried out, and the funny thing, when I tried out and interviewed here, it was interesting because, again, I'm trying to find God. I'm praying for weeks trying to figure out, what do you want me to talk to the redeemed about before I got here? Then the whole night before, I'm like, Lord, I need something. What do you want me to talk about? And he gives me nothing. I was like writer's block for prayer. You know, like it was just like I'd pray and it was a big white screen, nothing. So literally until I think it was Larry introduced me. So until I started walking up to the platform, that's when I finally started getting at least a scripture reference. Like, oh, good. Thank you, Lord. You know, and when I first started in ministry, I used to do a thing. I tried this out as I never would preach unless God spoke to me. So there was literally times where I stand at the pulpit just silent looking at everybody. And everybody's looking at me, and, you know, and I'm like, okay, Lord, tell me something. I look like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. So sometimes he does that, and that's okay. But where I feel we are at right now is I wanted to ask you guys a question, and this is off my notes a little bit, but I felt just to go in this direction. I want you guys to look around, and I did this with my staff, but look around the sanctuary real quick. Look at all the good-looking people that are here. Look at all the good-looking people that are missing. Now, the thing is I want you guys to think about and open your minds up to here is this simple thing. I've been here going on 11 months now because we moved here in November. So going on 11 months, October is our 11th month. And one thing I've learned is this building, which is an awesome building, we have 72 chairs set up. But what I've seen by visiting other churches, and I have visited some churches, and I've visited some pastors, and I've traveled around, this size... This right here is what rural America, Colorado knows. This is what we know. We know average 50 people in attendance. And I've talked to some pastors of 50 attendance. They're excited, clap, high-fiving each other. Good day, woo! You know, which is a good day. 30 people is a good day. 10 people is a good day. Hey, if one person shows up at church, I'm excited. I have someone to preach to, you know. But this is what we know. This is it. You drive down the street to the Lutheran church, the building is about the same size. You go to Lamar population, it's debated. Everybody debates it. Some say 6,000, some say 8, I say 10. Because that's what the internet tells me. And the Macintosh knows. Okay, just kidding. But you go to Lamar, the same thing is there. It's about the same size buildings. You may find a few extra big ones. But this is all we know. So the question that I have for you guys as the redeemed, if this is all we know, how do we break through it? How do we go somewhere where we don't know? Because me and Lori has casted a pretty big vision the last 11 months, I would say. I mean, it's pretty big. There's times where I've cast a vision I felt from God for this area, and I go home and think, that's a pretty big vision. I need some help. Okay? You know? But how do we break through what we know? How do we break through to where all these chairs are filled and then some? How do we get to that point? I know if I say building projects, people get nervous. Why? Because this is what we know. So how do we get past it? How do we go somewhere where we don't quite understand? How did the Israelites get to a promised land they've never even seen? You're talking about a generation that all they knew was slavery, going to a place with milk and honey. How do we get there? And why am I asking that question? Because I believe with all my heart, unless you guys answer in your hearts, we're never going to break through anywhere. Lord and I can keep casting the same vision over and over and over again, and we will not get anywhere until the church people finally understand, let's go get that vision done. But how do you go somewhere where you don't know? And that's the question, and hopefully we'll start solving, answering those questions, because the truth of the matter is, and I've said it before, and is this simple fact, is Scripture is very clear on a couple areas, on a lot of areas, but the one area Scripture is very clear on is that it's not the pastor's job to grow the church. It's not the pastor's job. Scripture actually says when Jesus looked at Peter and says, do you love me? Asked him three times, do you love me? Peter's like, of course, you know I do. Of course, you know I do. Yes, Lord, I love you. Okay, three times. He says, then feed my sheep. Peter was the very first, I don't know if you guys realize this, but Peter was the very first New Testament pastor. He was. He was the very pastor. You don't find the word pastor in the Bible, but you find shepherd. What shepherds do? They fed their sheep. That's what they did. Now, the important part to understand is you guys in the seats, it is really, truly, according to Scripture, your job to grow the church. For us to be a perfect team, you grow the church, I'll feed the sheep. That's how we get to the impossible. Does that make sense? But it is impossible sometimes to do what God asks. Now, I want to go to Ezekiel 37. This is the exact scripture I preached from during my interview. So we're going back in time. What? All right. If I start wearing bell bottoms, you know I've gone too far. You're like, come back. But Ezekiel 37 is an interesting scripture because, I mean, it's all prophecy. But I want you guys to understand something about this prophecy. Again, I'm going away from my notes. I haven't even started my notes yet. So we got about 2 hours left. I'll get done with this part and then get my notes and we'll be golden. Okay? But Ezekiel 37 basically says that the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out into the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. Now, you got to understand something. I mean, just get this picture in your head of this scripture. This is a spot where the God came to Ezekiel, took him to this valley of dry bones, passed him by. I mean, he made sure he got a clear picture of what this valley was. Took him down in the valley, showed him all the bones, took him around and over, got a perfect image of this valley of an army of dead people. Okay? God wanted him to understand, look, they're dead. You got to get this. Now, according to vision, a lot of times churches are surviving in America simply on dry bones, especially in places like rural America. Rural America really gets held up by what they know. If we close Mary's Market, there will be a panic in Kit Carson because that's all we know. If we put a Walmart up, we'd panic because we don't understand. We have to drive an hour to go to Walmart. It really is the case because people's mindsets get transformed to one area. That area can change. They want to stay what they know. We're like yo-yos. I was telling this to my staff. We're like yo-yos. We cast a vision. People run towards the vision, but then all of a sudden, instead of accomplishing it, we'll bounce back to what's comfortable and what we know. It's called dry bones. It's dead. Where there is no vision, people perish. We got to have vision. We got to pursue vision, and we got to accomplish vision. Again, you look around, we see very little, we see a good attendance here, but we see a lot of people missing. We also got to understand, as I still believe within my heart, in November, we're going to break 100, regardless of how many empty chairs we have today. So he took him around, showed him the dry bones. My question to the redeemed is, 1 year later, do you still want to function by dry bones? Or do you want to not just pursue the vision, but do you want to accomplish the vision? Do you want to taste the vision? I remember in football, I did this one thing. It was our last game, conference champs, or championship game. And I remember we as seniors thinking, this is our last game. That's it. No more after this. I remember putting the pads on and thinking to myself, this is the last time I'm going to wear these pads. And it truly was. I mean, I never wore them again. No point. Next to the church. Woo! But I remember one time going into the end zone and just picking the grass and smelling it. And just staying there and looking around. And my coach saying, get used to this spot. This is where we need to live today, is in the end zone, in the victory spot. Well, same thing goes for vision. You got to live there. You got to embrace it. You got to smell it. You got to sometimes just get in a place with God where you're not pursuing him with everything you have. I'll tell you this much. You can pursue God to the point of missing him. But if you'll just lay in his presence, let him saturate it and fill you and infill you and smell the place of victory, we will accomplish it. But when I say we're going to break 100, we're going to have multi-campuses, we're going to broadcast to the world, whoa, you guys get dizzy, don't you? Like, whoa, really? What? This little church? Then this little area? Let me explain something. God does not care about population of Kit Carson. He cares about population in the kingdom of heaven. And if we're going to win souls and if we're going to fulfill scripture, he'll take this low populated area and explode it worldwide. I guarantee you, if we'll fulfill scripture, we'll be bigger than any church in a metro area just for the simple fact of favor. So he takes him and shows him these dry bones. And he said to him, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. I mean, that's a pretty good answer to God when he shows you an army of dead people. Hey, can these dead people live? Well, only you know. I don't have a clue. I mean, imagine that. Imagine standing in front of an army that has been slaughtered and dead and dry, and God says, can they live? Eat your Thanksgiving turkey in November coming up. Look at the dry bones and say, can it be replenished? Wouldn't that be a cool trick? Thanksgiving every day. But as a perfect bone, I did that in my youth ministry one time. I spoke on the scripture, and I literally brought Thanksgiving bones in and laid them before them to get the visual of, this is what he's looking at. Dead army, military. Can these bones live? And the same question needs to be answered. Now, just hear me on this. So I know, in rural America, can this area live? Does Kit Carson have to shrink to population zero, or can it explode beyond and bigger? Can this area live? Can the empty houses be filled? Can the empty businesses be filled? Can the empty churches be filled? Can this area survive once again? Now, instead of dozing off, answer the question. Can this area live? Can this church live? I mean, that's a question that needs to be answered. Now, all of you kind of nod your head. Oh, I get it. We got vision. We haven't accomplished it yet, so that's why I'm asking these questions. Can it live? And he said, answers, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live then, you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. So you got to picture this. He prophesies to them, and basically brings flesh, bone, skin, blood back into these empty, dry bones once again. That's a pretty awesome miracle. Let me explain something. If you were a person who didn't have Jesus Christ and you received Jesus Christ, that's exactly what happened to our spirit man. The day that we received Jesus is the day that life rejuvenated us once again. Life rejuvenated us again. Now the point being is we could prophesy, or we can go out and declare that we are alive once again. I'll tell you this much. The church will not grow if the Christians stay in the church and not share their testimony outside the church. Christians sometimes are the most dead people I've ever seen in my life. They have the greatest testimony known to man. Jesus Christ has resurrected us, but yet the sinners are louder than the Christians. The bars are busier than the churches. There's a problem with that. This scripture I'm reading to you is all about furious love. Jesus took Ezekiel and said, can these people live again? Jesus looked at his disciples and says, look at this world. Can these people live again? I died and I was resurrected. My blood was shed for them, but can they live again? And in rural America, we get stuck in the past and forget to move forward to the future. The Bible says we need to be understanding of the times that we live in. Which one, folks, is the time that we live in is very short. I guarantee you, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to do what Scripture says. He's going to separate the goats from the sheep. And if the redeemed wants to be in the head of the game, we need to go out and love the people. We need to stop settling for mediocrity and go for excellence. We need to stop settling for halfway and go for excellence. I can feel your growing pains as we're trying to throw this vision out to you, as we stretch beyond and beyond. All rural America knows, basically in churches, is one instrument and a couple of vocals. Anywhere you go, I praise God, we're in the modern times, we got a guitar. Not just the organ, you know. But rural America, we settle for what we know. And I'm saying, folks, God wants to take us beyond what we know into the supernatural of what He knows and what He promises. I know it's hot in here, just bear with me. So my question to you is, can this area live? Can this church live? Or are we going to settle for mediocrity? We got to stretch beyond. And out there is there's a group of people that are looking for someone to just simply love them. The scripture says after all this happened, these dry bones came to life. They're standing up before Him. And I love their response. These are people that were killed and resurrected. And then He said to him, He said, Son of man, in verse 11, He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Imagine that. I mean, to me, that's very discouraging to think of someone that was dead, murdered, destroyed, dry bones, God resurrects them. The first thing He says before they even say thank you is, our hope is lost. They instantly went back to when they were killed. Even though they're resurrected, they're thinking of the sword that ran them through, or they're thinking about whatever gory thing happened to them. That's what they're remembering, their instrument of death. But Jesus Christ resurrected them, but they still say our hope is lost. And I've seen this many times in churches where God can do a great move in someone's life. 2 days later, they're back at the hopeless state that they were in before. In order for the church to move forward, folks, you have actually got to live for Jesus Christ. You've actually got to pursue Jesus Christ, and you, sorry? Everybody say, hey, Ebony. But churches, let me explain something. Nobody, no sinner, wants to become a Christian if it just means they're going to be just as miserable as the Christian next to them. But Christians receive Jesus Christ, and they still walk around with no hope. Well, I can't pay my bills today. Woe is me. Or how about this? The Christians that receive Jesus, now, granted, we have grace. Grace is applied to us, understand completely. But yet the Christians that keep living by the same addictions they had before they were called Christians. Who wants to become a Christian if it just means you're just going to be addicted and miserable? Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. Very sad thing. It's like, man, if you're resurrected by Jesus Christ, shouldn't you have some passion and excitement about you? Shouldn't you have some passion enough inside of you to share that story with everybody? I've been working on a series for later down the road, not sure when, about 28 days. If you had 28 days to live, how would you live those 28 days? If you knew the day you were going to take your last breath, how would you live those days? Would you live it by the same stuff that you're living by now? Would your vacations, would your job, would your family, would it be the same priority to you if you knew in 28 days you were no longer going to be here? I think I'd be more passionate about, I only have 28 days to make sure some people receive Jesus Christ. It wouldn't be about finding the nearest beach and dying happy. It'd be about going out with guns ablaze and receive, I mean, guys, we have a commission from God. God loves you enough that He sent His Son. He loves them enough that He sent His Son. But yet we settle for mediocrity. Ask yourself in the last 2 months, who have you witnessed to? How many people have you loved trying to get them in the kingdom of God? How many people have you invited to church on a regular basis? How many have you pursued? Because let me explain something. It's understandable that every single day, days go by. 24 hours every day goes by. Our jobs are there. Our bills are there. Our family's there. Our chaos is there. But yet, is there time that you make to make sure you're loving people into the kingdom of God? Because if you're not, you're not growing the church. If you're not, you're not fulfilling the scriptures that God has given. He said, go out and tell the people. Now, everybody gets excited Wake up, sleepyheads. Everybody gets excited when especially at Pentecostal churches, they get excited when you read stories about dry bones and life. I remember at Revival Center, we had key phrases that we knew everybody was going to cheer. One of them was eagle's wings. Guaranteed. You sing eagle's wings, the whole church, yeah, eagle's wings. I don't even know. It was like, whatever. You know, there's always those key phrases. So we get excited about this kind of stuff. But let me explain something. Prophecy means nothing unless the Christians are going to go out to fulfill the prophecies. For 20 years, when Laura and I got here, people were excited. For 20 years, we've been prophesying, and it's going to come to pass. I know that this is the season. It's going to happen. Yay! It's not going to happen unless the redeemed church body goes out to fulfill the prophecies. What season are we in? Our season is we're in now is that we are to go out and love the people into the kingdom of God. That's where we are. Amen? So I'm going to give you, I'm going to go to my notes. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to give you some keys. Because I guarantee you this. First off, give God a clap because that was for him. Because basically the only way, it is hot in here. What happened? It's like, Ebony, can you kick on some fans? There's a switch that says fans. She looks at me like, fans? Never mind. Urban's got it. There we go. There you go. Awesome. Give her a hand. Now, I'm going to go through a few notes, but I'm not going to read all of them. Won't be any longer than I normally am. But I guarantee you this, that we are called as redeemed to go out and do something different. I believe with all my heart we can get stuck with where we are or we can move forward. This is how we move forward. We've been talking about furious love, and we've been talking about for, this is our third week talking about it, and I guarantee you this, that if the redeemed people will go out and love people intensely, we can overcome all things. God has given us a tool that will break any other instruments of warfare through love. And I believe this, that Christians do not love naturally. We don't love naturally. We label people and we set them aside, we move them aside. Because when I ask you guys, how many of you guys have, in the last 2 months have witnessed to someone? How many people have you been inviting to church on a regular basis? All of your faces kind of got stumped. If that's the case, there's an absence of love going on. Because we can make the most dynamic church in the world, but I'll tell you this much, it's not about people loving this church, it's about them loving Jesus. And if you can go out and love them and they love Jesus, here's an example of that. When I was a youth pastor, I grew our youth ministry pretty good, but I also grew, 20 miles from us was a town called Mesick, I also grew their youth ministry. Because I was a youth pastor that would go into schools, buy pizzas, love the people. When they get born again and they need to find a church, I didn't send them 20 miles to me. I plugged them into the church that was right in their community. So my point being is if we will go out and love people, get them born again in the kingdom of God, who cares what church they call home as long as they call Jesus home? So we need to start loving the people. And one way of, and so I'm going to give you just a few characteristics of Christ that we need to apply to ourselves. Amen? You going to stick with me? I'm trying to speed up so I can get you guys fed and get you a nap because it looks like you need it. But in Ephesians 5, verse 2. Well, first off, let me go to Psalms 36, verse 7. It says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. The important thing to understand when it comes to love is God's characteristic is love. Love is not a choice to him. Love is something that he is. Love is the only thing that you can think of when it comes to God. Let me explain something. I believe God even still loves the fallen angels. He created them. He has no hatred found in him, so he loves all living things. He shows us favor over the fallen angels. Okay, so characteristic of God is love. If we are supposed to have Jesus Christ living inside of us, and we're supposed to show Jesus Christ to other people, we should radiate that same love. Make sense? Okay, so I'm going to give you some characteristics to show the world that we live in how to love. Okay? It says this in Ephesians 5:2. It says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Ezekiel and the dry bones, the way that those dry bones came to life was miraculous, just like salvation. How they got their hope back is when the very Spirit of God breathed down into them and filled them with that Spirit. Okay? I believe with all my heart that Spirit of God comes when there is love in the area. If we will be people that walk in love, the same aroma that filled those dry bones with life will fill this town with life. If you want Kit Carson, Cheyenne Wells, and the whole Cheyenne County and Eads to come to life for Jesus Christ, it's going to take us loving the people. If we will love the people, we will see dry bones live. You with me? So number one, the first one that we need to do is we walk in love. Walk in love basically stands for this. Because another version of the Bible says esteeming and delighting in love for or delighting in one another. Esteeming is to regard highly or favorable, regard with respect or admiration. I esteem him for his honesty, as an example. I hold him high. I respect him. What is amazing to me is when I go to restaurants or a public setting where I see people from churches that show no respect or regard or love for anybody around them. It's amazing when you go to a restaurant and their food doesn't come in time, that Christian is no longer a Christian. I've been here for 30 minutes. Where's my food? It's cold. It's this. Wine. Eat it and be fruitful. I don't know why I said that, fruitful, but that's a whole different scripture. Eat it and be happy and go home, you know. But it's amazing to me. Or when you go through a drive-thru, I said this before, I do this all the time. Drive-thrus are I need to quit doing it. Because drive-thrus are the most, I lose my Christianity so fast at a drive-thru. It's amazing to me. I can go to a restaurant and sit forever. I don't care. Bring my food out in an hour. I got coffee and good people to talk to. But in my car, I'm like, look, I got to go. Let's go. Chop, chop. And they take forever, and they give me the wrong food. Oh, how many of you guys drive away, and you look in your bag, and it's the wrong thing? All of a sudden, Christianity is no longer in your life. You're just going through all the fruits of the flesh. But the point being is, we need to love the people. We need to regard highly or favorable to them. Go to a restaurant, order food, no matter how the service is, give that poor waitress $20 tip. Bless her with some extra. Remember one time me and Lori went to a funeral for one of my teenagers that passed away, and we went out to eat to Ponderosa, combination of sit-down and buffet. Perfect. Take all the time you want with my steak. I got all this, you know. And I remember the waitress was looking really down and really sad, and I'm like, what's going on with you, you know? And like that, like, what's going on with you? Smile. No. But I was talking to her, and she said how she gave up her morning shift to go to the funeral, and she was friends with a teenager that died. And then she also had a party that was treating her very badly. A whole wedding party or something like that. Huh? Oh, it was a bus. Those football teams coming through, you know. But it was a bus, and she said it was just they were treating her bad and blah, blah, blah. So when Laura and I left, we hand her $20. And she goes, or something like that. Was it 20 or 50? Okay. 50 sounds better. No. We gave her a $20 tip. And she comes running back saying, "Don't you left me too much." I was like, no, be blessed with it. And she had me teared up. It blessed her. I wasn't mad about my service. I wasn't treating her badly. But that's a ministry right there, just by loving someone, giving them an extra tip. I mean, when I used to work in a restaurant and waiting tables, and I felt bad for all the dishwashers and the kitchen crew that they make like minimum wage. And the wait, you know, we're making good money. So sometimes I'd walk out and just give them a $50 tip. Say, thank you for cleaning all the dishes because my people were happy because of what you did. It's a ministry. Love is a ministry. I guarantee you, if you will love enough, you will see dry bones come to life. So walk in love. Walking in love will bring the hardest, darkest. Let me give you an example. I'm not going to show the video clip for time's sake, I don't think. But I remember there's a video clip. I'll show it maybe next week, but we're showing video clips on fierce love. But I remember this video clip where this guy is going out into Salem praying for basically witches and New Agers and all alike, just doing street ministry. And he had this group of four guys come, and one of them was a witch, and you could tell because he had a cloak on with a red cloak on over his hood and his makeup on and just all that kind of stuff. And he's praying for these people. He reaches over and he's praying for this one guy, just praying for the love of God to touch him. And this one guy actually fell back. The power of God just moved in him, and he fell back, and his eyes got really big, and he didn't fall down, just back a few steps, and he looked at the guy, and he just, like, stared off. He's like, couldn't move. The guy's like, where are you at? What are you doing? He's like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. But he felt God. So then he moves on to the witch, and he just started ministering love to this guy. Just ministering love. Just saying God wants to love you. He's got his hand on you. He's restoring your heart. Just all these loving things. And I'll show it maybe next week, but just showing all these loving things. And he says, let me lay hands on you and pray for you. So now this male witch, as he goes to pray for him, and this is my favorite part of the video, takes off his cloak and bows his head in honor of God. Love will bring the most hardest, darkest, demonic entity into a place of reverence before God. Because here's what I know. When the end of times is here and Jesus is walking, or Jesus is here and we're going, every single living entity will bow before God. The love that we show for people is the same power that will be here that day. And if we will just love people, we will see people be transformed in Jesus' name. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Preference to one another. You know what that means? That means somebody else has your preference besides you. We get selfish with what we prefer. We get selfish with our days. But when we're kind and affectionate, give other people preference. Give other people honor over yourself. Number two is simple. This is Christ-like character right here. Just says, be kind. Just be kind. Romans 12:10 talks about just being kind. A kind heart is a Christ-centered heart. We must not only be kind to the church members, but also the community. The churches definitely get clicky. Churches get clicky with their little things. I remember in Michigan all the time, people would visit and leave, and be like we didn't fit in. We weren't part of the cliques. And that's exactly what they said. You know, this person had this person. They sit next to each other, and nobody else exists. I remember seeing that in churches all the time where this person's sitting next to this person, they're friends, and there's a new person here, they don't even look at them. They actually do that body gesture, you know, where you kind of turn away from them so you don't have to talk to them. You know, that's Jesus. But we got to not just be friendly to our church people, but be friendly with people out there. Jesus was kind to the people that were lost. Now, I'll say this, and we're almost done, but Jesus was kind to all those who were lost. And here's one story that I love, and I shared it before. But when Jesus was at the well, and he talked to the lady at the well, basically says, hey, give me a drink, which is like a commanding thing. Give me a drink. Let's go. You know? But what I love about that story is that he, first off, talked to someone who back then, all ladies were equal to animals. They were very low class back then. And here's Jesus talking to one of them. Showing them love that transformed her life. And all I'm saying is that in order for dry bones to live, in order for the power of God to move, the only way for the prophecies that this church wants to walk in to be fulfilled is if this church will go out and love the people. Pastors got this reputation about being all about love and all these kind of things. And it's kind of sad because what that has done is taking the church, taking the load off the church and putting it on the pastor. Well, they're designed to love. God gave them a gift of love. God gave them a shepherd's heart. Let them shepherd. Our job is to feed you guys. You guys' job is to go out and get more of you guys. The more seats that you help fill, the more sheep get fed. Amen? I used to love what Jesse Duplantis says all the time. He says, or he's talking about people that used to get mad at him. Pastors would come up to him and say, you're stealing all my people. You know what I mean? You know, because he's doing something exciting. They're probably stuck in a rut, so people would transfer over to his church. And he'd get back in the face, like, look, all I'm doing is feeding my sheep. If your sheep are too hungry to come over to my pasture, you got to ask what you're not feeding them. It's like, yes, that's what you say. You know, I wrote it down, future reference. I'm just kidding. But 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Your love will speak louder than anything you ever speak. Christians, I think, need to stop preaching all the time and just start loving. Don't tell everybody to quit sinning. Quit sinning or you're going to go to hell. No, just love them. Love them for who they are, what they do, where they're at, and you'll see changes take place. Number three is basically follows up with that scripture is love with works. Christians and churches get in habits all the time. Christians and churches get in habits of talking about their love, but not showing their love. Talk, but we never really show our love. So we need to love with our works. Go out and start loving, just loving people. Make it priority. What if you just took it, I mean, practice it. Practice your loving gestures, because let me explain something. If you're like me, love does not come naturally. It comes by practice and making habits. All right? I mean, the other day I was telling this for, did I say it for Sunday school or did I share it in this message? Did I tell you guys about my breakfast story while I was gone in the Springs? Okay, good. You ever get so tired, you don't even know what you're talking about? That's where I'm at. But I mean, this is a loving gesture. I remember my first day there in the Springs. I got up to go, and I went up, got up early, trying to be the good. Trying to be the good Christian. So I get up early, go downstairs to study at the Embassy Suites, best breakfast in the world. I mean, they have great hotel breakfast. So I go down there. I'm studying. I'm reading. Drink coffee. Then I realize breakfast is getting ready to be done. I haven't even seen my life forms of my family yet. So I'm like, uh-oh. So I went ahead and started getting breakfast. So here I am going through the line, walking down the, you know, this big line and a buffet where they make your omelets or whatever you want, pancakes. So I'm there. I got 2 trays, 10 plates probably, and I'm just like, I need this omelet, I need this, I need a pancake. I'm going through all the family list of stuff. And so now I get it all, omelets, pancakes, potatoes and bacon, juice, and now I got all these trays in my arm. I'm trying to walk very carefully to the table, right? But the guy at the counter, you know, asked me, he's like, what are you doing all this food? And I says, well, I got 4 kids and my wife's coming down. He's like, oh. And he really was stunned by this. He's like, I make my wife take care of my kids. I was like, well, that's good for you. We practice partnership, you know? I was like, I want to love my wife and my kids. They're sleeping in, so I got breakfast. But that ministered to him. Because he really didn't think about it. He even talked to me about 3 minutes about it. And the other girl's like, you know, she's just looking at me like, wow, I wish my husband did that, you know? And I'm not saying I'm awesome, because we got in a fight later that day, probably. What I'm saying, though, is practicing love. It's practice. I deliberately got over myself and my selfishness of what I was doing, got to breakfast, walked it through, just in time as they came to the table. They had a hot breakfast. Mine was cold. Usually happens when you got 4 kids. Parents eat cold food all the time. Might as well just refrigerate it and just eat it. But its point being is that we need to practice our love. Take some time out of your day and say, you know what, I'm going to go out and do what I can do to love somebody else. Not your family. Go out in the community. Just do something that you can do. Think of it. Practice it. Show it. Let me explain something. If you do that, you will see a transformation take place. This scripture that y'all got excited about during my interview and all the prophecies coming true will not happen unless you guys go out and show love to people. When you show love, that scripture says the aroma will fill them. Amen? Almost done. You guys, on Saturday nights, go to bed at 9. So you're well awake for church. Amen? But love and works. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Okay, 1 John 3:16, yeah. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That day Jesus laid down his life for us is the filter for which love is filtered through. You want to know what love looks like? That's what it looks like. Laying down our lives for other people. Laying down our lives, you know what that just means? Lay down our selfishness to love somebody. Lay down our pride to love somebody. I had a guy in the Army that I used to play basketball with every single day. We played basketball together. And one day he showed up and he was bald. And I'm like, hey, you're bald. And but he was like the new bald, pale white, you know, shaved his head, pale white. He's like, what are you doing? Or, you know, and he says this. He says his sister got cancer, was going through chemotherapy. She was very insecure about the way she looked, so he shaved his head with her. He says, I'm going to be bald until you got here. You know what I mean? Lay down his pride to minister to his sister. Laying down our lives doesn't mean that we just have to jump in front of a bullet. But what if you're sitting at a table, and the table next to you has a lot of kids, and you just say, you know, I'm going to pay for their meal today without them knowing it. I'm just going to bless them. Lay down yourself. I'm telling you something. I know the church, this church gets excited. This church wants to see growth. But I guarantee you, these seats will not be filled unless the church starts practicing the scriptures. We can design our church in a way that makes it inviting to people. You know that, hey, you know, we're inviting is easy. We got breakfast. Larry and Carla went crazy on that for a while. They went out to everybody, hey, we got breakfast at 9 o'clock. Woo! It's exciting. Loving people. Making sure that they get a chance to receive Jesus. Next week I'm going to show a video clip from my friend Brett, who is in Ethiopia, or he's back, but he's got a video clip. And one thing I love is his mission is one chance for every person to receive Jesus. One chance. What's awesome is we'll fly all the way to Africa to make sure someone has one chance, but we won't cross the street to love somebody. That's sad. Let me explain something. All these people that are not born again in these areas that think they're born again and they're not, or whatever the case may be, they're the same as some tribe in the jungle that's never heard Jesus. It's the same destinations. Amen? There's only two destinations after death, heaven, hell. We're all going one place or another. So by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we need to lay down. Hey, Chris, come on, jump up here, man. So we need to lay down our selfishness, lay down our pride, lay down our walls so we can love unconditionally. The first thing about the dry bones that I think is cool about the story is that they, all of them, had their hope lost. They remembered the instrument that killed them. You know, the instrument that took their lives. And when it comes to our Christian experience, something always keeps us from living successfully in our Christian experience. Something always keeps us from moving forward in scriptures. Let me explain something. If we're always struggling financially, we haven't tapped into prosperity yet. But prosperity is given to us through Jesus. Amen? If we're sick all the time, we haven't tapped into the divine health scripture yet. But yet that was given to us at the redemption. Amen? If our churches in rural America are not growing, we haven't tapped into that scripture yet. My question is this, as you guys looked around the sanctuary, all of you get excited at the thought we can be something that we aren't, we can grow, but yet how are we going to get there? How are you going to help get us there? How are you going to grow your role? And y'all got your role. You sit in it every single Sunday. Jeff doesn't, because he's always in the sound booth. How are you going to grow that section? How are you going to grow it? Not because I want to see a large church. Let me explain my heart. My heart is not just to have a large church to be able to speak in front of 150 people or 200 people. My heart is to see that many people getting born again, baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, disciple in the name of Jesus. I want to see marriages transformed. I want to see fathers and mothers and sons and daughters transformed. I want to see businesses transformed. I want to see God move in this area. And he's only going to move if the church body will move. We're back to Shannon O'Dell now, saying God moves, you move, God moves. We all heard that. I remember everybody clapping, that's true, that's true. But then we don't move. We don't move. Again, go back to if you knew when your last breath was going to be taken, how would you take those breaths till then? Would you be sharing Jesus? Would you be more motivated to do what was priority to you? And this morning I'm just asking that. I'm asking you guys to dig down deep, because you know something? I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But the world can't get much more worse. But I want to see this community in heaven. I want to see you guys in heaven. I know you're born again, so you're getting there. But let's take some people with us. How can you apply that? Take out the instrument of death that has been applied to you, okay? And move forward in the scriptures. All I'm saying is not to go out and be the best preacher, teacher in the world. I'm not even saying go out and do what Fierce Love Video is talking about. I'm not saying go out and start praying for people at the corner of Mary's Market. And all I'm saying is go out and love people and make sure that church is at the front of your mind to invite them to. No shepherd can feed the sheep unless they show up. We can set off a huge buffet for people to eat, but if there's nobody to eat it, what good is it? So this morning, every book I've ever read on church growth says the number one reason for church growth is the pastor. The other is volunteers. The volunteers are actually before the paid staff. So I'm asking, I'm pleading for some from the redeemed people to say, okay, you know what? It's time to move forward with this vision. It's time to move forward. I don't want to go in my second year struggling with the same stuff we did the first year. I want to see growth. I want us to have a big problem, and I want that problem to be there's not enough seats for one service. Amen? Because we want to see people born again. So this morning I'm going to pray, and I want to ask you guys just those questions. Is how can you love the people? How can you love the people? How can you apply scriptures to grow this church? Amen? So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to pray for a second over you guys and just sit and be patient. Stay awake for just a few more minutes, and then you got your nap coming. Okay, the big Sunday afternoon nap. But let's pray for a second. Father God, we just come before you right now, Lord, just asking for you to move in our lives. I pray, Lord God, that we will be a church that will love the people. I pray, Lord God, that we'll be a church that will love the people. Love the people, Lord. Love the people. I ask you to love the people. I pray, Lord God, that you'll give us wisdom and not just being a... I pray, Lord, that you'll take our thinking out of the box. That we won't just look around our church and say, this is all we know. But that we'll be asking you, Lord God, give us more. Give us more wisdom to know what we don't know. Help us reach beyond where we are, Lord. Help us reach beyond where we are, Lord. If you're someone that you're saying, I'm with you on this. If you're someone that's saying, you know what, I want to love the people. I want to move forward. I want to help grow the church. Not just get fed, but I want to feed. I'd like you, if you would, to stand up with me. Let's go ahead and stand up if you're someone that... Shannon O'Dell said a cool story one time, and I know he's the pastor, but he said at one point it got to the point with his church that he actually performed a ceremony. I don't know if anybody was there or if it was just him and his wife, but they actually made vows like a marriage to his church that we're making a covenant. We're making a covenant. Now, how many of you guys realize that when you're just dating someone, you can end it at any time? But once you make a covenant, you're committed. You're committed. Now, Lori and I have made a pact that we're growing this church. We moved here to grow this church. Now I'm asking you guys to search your hearts and say, you know what, I will grow this church. I will volunteer. I will, you know what, nothing worse than having an empty nursery with no workers. Nothing worse than walking into a church and not having your handshake by anybody. Nothing worse than a community that isn't being ministered to by their local church. So during this song, let me ask them to sing King Jesus again. During the song, I just ask you to search your hearts and make a covenant that we're going to grow this church, that you're going to help grow this church. However you feel, all of you guys got, I had one lady come up to me the other day that had a great idea that was out of the box, never even would have thought of it, for blessing the people. And maybe you have your ideas. But what Laura and I are looking for now is we're looking for a team. Not just a congregation and pastors, but a team between the congregation and pastors to grow the church. Amen?
You can contact the Church of the Redeemed at P.O. Box 101, Kit Carson, Colorado, 80825, or you can call the church office at 719-962-3363. And thank you for listening to the CD. God bless.